Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire. Jeff, could you maybe laugh just a little bit less? Come on, man.
Are you ready to thoughtfully steer away from your revved up, frenzied, and far too often scripted life? Then welcome to Vroom Vroom Veer with Jeff Smith, where he guides you down the road differently traveled by sharing unique experiences with guests who have managed to shift away from a life stuck on cruise control and veered their way into a more authentic and fulfilling one in all sorts of interesting and kind of remarkable ways. Get ready to vroom vroom veer with your differently traveled road chauffeur, Jeff Smith.
Hi, Allie. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks so much for having me today.
Thank you for being here. How's the weather in Ohio?
Well, let's just say it's pretty white out and pretty cold.
You're not like Boston, are you? You don't have like 7 feet?
We don't have 7 feet. I don't have enough to start shipping out to people yet and selling it. I don't know if you heard about the guy.
Really?
Yeah, there's a guy in Massachusetts that is selling snow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
not? I heard they were like dumping it on in rivers and streams.
Yeah.
Because it's like piling up and not melting.
Well, it's $89 to get a box, but it comes with approximately 10 to 15 snowballs. I kid you not. This is not a paid advertisement for him either.
Okay. Isn't it that the obvious question, wouldn't it melt? Oh, well then again, where are you shipping it to?
Well, he says that there will be some melting, but you will still get those 10 to 15. That's what he's saying. After the melt, there'll still be enough for 10 to 15.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and he is shipping to warmer climates.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. That, you know, that's a nice entrepreneur move right there.
Yeah.
It's totally free.
Yeah.
Well, not totally free.
Yeah.
Time and shipping, but you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah. And he's got plenty of it.
Yeah.
Supply and demand is big right there.
I don't know. I can't see myself wanting to buy snowballs.
I can't either, but I guess if you live in Hawaii and you've never seen it in your life,
you might be thinking
different.
See, I grew up in Michigan and now I live in California, Southern California, but you know what it's like living in the Midwest. I mean, I moved away when I was 18 when I joined the Air Force, and I just remember like one of the last couple of days before I left, it was December, and I was like, I'm never coming back, frozen tundra.
Yes. And yet I still continue with such the freedom lifestyle that I have, wondering why I'm still here. But really, in all actuality, my daughter is a freshman in high school. And so she's, you know, just got a few more years. And then we will definitely be moving to warmer climates.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Tell us what a typical Wednesday for you was when you had your job.
Yeah, let me just tell you, I think I was born want to be preneur. So it was not necessarily just inspired by my shitty, crappy job that I had.
Right.
Or the area that I was in that really didn't allow for women to be in such, you know, boisterous roles like I am right now. So it is. But I had landed this job that I'm telling you what. I think my boss was the best car salesman ever. totally talked up this job. It was so great. You know, I was going to be rolling in the commission dough because I was going to be an executive recruiter. And I had the perfect personality to make this happen, which I knew, you know, I have a good personality. So I was like totally buying into the BS of it.
And the sales pitch, huh?
Oh, he was a total salesman. I wish I could go back and take classes from him now. Not really, because of the way that he looked at women. But so, you know, I took this job and I had such confidence that maybe this entrepreneur dream wasn't necessarily something that I needed, that maybe this was just finding the right position. So I went into this position with full on intent that I was going to rock it out at $10 an hour.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And you were doing executive recruiting. So you had a call list or an email list.
Well, Monster.com was huge at this moment. And as a recruiter, we got to see, you know, all of the resumes on there and stuff. So basically my job, and I love the internet. I went to college for web design. So this job was really pulling in all of the technology pieces that I longed for,
right,
along with the, you know, sales and talking to people and stuff like that. But it was all like basically doing it online. And so he would hook me up with the jobs, and then I would search Monster for the candidates. I would talk to the candidates. I would talk to the job. I'd try to match them up. But what he failed to mention was that there was thousands of other people doing the same thing. And with not really, he didn't train me. He basically just like threw me into it. It wasn't an easy sell. So, I basically worked, let's see, I started in like October, November, because it was still college football season. You being from Michigan, me being from Ohio. Yeah,
we can still be friends. It's okay. Yes. This has happened before with Amy Schmidtastic.
Oh, yes. I love her.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Ohio-Michigan rivalry, but we can still be friends.
Yeah, so I started at some point in time during that, because I remember we had, you know, we wore Ohio State on Fridays during football season. So it was sometime around football season. And then, and I remember things like date and time, because you're going to hear this later too with the Ohio State Michigan game. It's great that you're a Michigander.
Yeah.
and then this was June, right? So I had made a freaking sale. It was my first like real placement in almost a year of like labor,
grind.
Yay! It was such a like, holy shit, I just did it. Oh my gosh. You know,
good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And then weeks passed and there was no commission check placed on my check. And I was kind of like, what the hell? When is this going to come? So I started talking to the office manager. She's like, well, I'm not really somebody that you should be talking to this about, but he has not let me know that I'm supposed to give you the pay for it. So
now wait a minute. I'm confused.
Yes.
So you were obviously, you couldn't have been on strict commission only. So these were like it was in your contract that you would get a certain sort of commission for every placement.
You got it.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I skipped over that.
No, that's okay. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't know the story as well as you do.
Yes, absolutely.
And okay. I've told Continue.
It a few times. Yeah.
There you go.
So, I went into his office and I was like, hey, Pete. I was like, maybe I shouldn't be telling his name on here.
You know, we don't know his last name. So
yeah, yeah, exactly. So I was like, hey, you know, like, I'm just kind of curious as to when this commission's going to come. He looked me dead in the eyes and was like, what commission? And I was like, that placement that I made was so-and-so at so-and-so company. And he was like, you didn't make that placement. I made that placement.
What?
Yeah, you can imagine the look. And I'm very like, I tell it like it is. My jaw, I'm gonna guess, came down, hit the ground, came back up, smacked me in the face, because I was popped my head to the side, and I was like, no, you did not. What he did do was made a final call to the business after my guy did the interview and pretty much landed the job to find out how it went. That was his role. Yeah.
And that's how he got the commission. He took your commission, essentially.
Well, he's the owner of the business.
So he doesn't get commissions. Well, yes, he can if he wants to, I suppose.
Exactly. So I basically was like, no, that's not what we discussed. And I have my contract at home. So, you know, if you need me to bring it in tomorrow. Oh, no, we got it on file. I want you to go home tonight and I want you to really think about this, to really think if you made that placement and you deserve this commission. Because we were just butting head going back and forth on this and there nobody was winning.
How long had you been working there?
It was like college football season. So like September, October, November, sometime around there in the fall. Yeah. And then this was the beginning of summer. So like June.
Okay. So June, like July. 8 months-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had worked my butt off and only had one placement. It was like,
right,
he just basically completely deflated me.
Uh-huh.
So I went home And I had the idea of wanting to start a virtual assistant business, but I put it on the back burner when I found this job because I thought this could be it. This could be where I really find my calling. And they didn't have websites, so I could get in and I could do the website. Like, I really felt like I could help build them up as a business. So I went home and I talked to my husband at the time, and he was basically like, you know, if you honestly feel like you deserve it, you go in there and you stand your ground. You know, that's all you can do. This isn't right. You know, he's going to get away with it, you know, but you go in.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, there was nothing I could do.
Other than stand and be true.
Yes, and see what happened. And Basically what happened was I went in the next morning. He had to come into my office door to get into his office. Walked in that morning at 9 a.m. Of course, we all had to be there at 8. He walked in at 9 a.m. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. Great. My hands were sweating waiting for him to call me into his office. He didn't call me into his office until 11:45. We all, as a business, ate lunch together on Fridays because people came in to get their checks from this business.
Right.
So he waited till we had ordered my food. He waited until we were all getting ready to sit down for our lunch on Friday before he called me into his office and said, so, tell me what you think. And this was like, what, almost 3 hours later from him walking in?
Right.
And I was like, I deserve that commission. And he was like, huh, really? And I was like, yeah. I deserve it. I made the placement. I made the call. I followed up. I did this, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, go ahead and go pack your desk. We don't need your services any longer. And I was like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Is this jackass really doing this?
Holy and yes. Crap.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was like, all right, that's fine. I am one of those people. You watch me and I'm going to show you. And so essentially I went home and that weekend I might have had a few beers and wallowed in my sorrows, but then I began MMR Business Solutions, and that was the very first.
So this is the end then.
This is the end then.
This is the next the and end then.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. You had the wallow. Did you get your chest puffed up? Did you feel like righteous, what do they call that? Like righteous indignation?
you know,
did you feel like you stood up? For yourself, because you can feel bad and good for good reasons kind of thing. How did you feel?
I felt hella awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
I will tell you a quick little story. I met this other chick that, you know, really has nothing to do with the story, but her mom started working, doing my job. And when she met me, she was like, this is the legend. I had become a legend in the office for standing up to him.
That's great.
It was amazing.
Yeah, yes. See, so not a bad transition.
No.
Good
no,
for you.
No.
Yes, okay, thank and you. Then?
And then. So then I started my VA business. And,
right.
And, you know, I would not say that I got my first client in like August, but I don't even call him the first client because he was a nightmare. I just did it for the money, you know?
Right.
And then I spent the next couple months looking for projects and doing some like transcription work and creating some online catalogs and some different things that really didn't interest me.
So you're just trying different ways to make money at home sort of thing?
Yes.
Online?
Well, as a virtual assistant,
doing VA work, virtual assistant work.
But doing a wide variety of stuff, like because I had web design background and stuff like that, like the online catalogs, I found it as a VA, but it was more technical work, right? Most VAs do personal stuff. They don't do the technical web stuff.
Right.
So little did I know that that was actually this huge gift that lots of people were looking for. I had no idea. But before I found that gift... Getting a little ahead of myself here.
Okay, back up.
Yeah, back up. So again, probably another 8 or so months came. It was February at this time.
Right.
And my husband and I at the time decided we had been together since I was 18. We had a daughter when I was 19. We were just kind of thrown into things, you know. We decided that we were no longer a good fit for each other and we needed to get a divorce.
Okay.
And I was only making $500 a month at the time.
Right.
That really, I mean, even in Ohio, even in rural Ohio, that still is not going to pay the bills for you.
Yeah.
And not only just me, but I also had a daughter.
Right.
So I took me and my two dogs and my daughter and we moved back in with my parents.
Okay.
That sucked. Like,
so what did that feel like? Now that, yeah, that felt like you're walking, what do they call that? You're dragging your tail between your legs.
Oh, sort yes. Of.
I mean, so you went from triumph to,
Well, I will tell you, I spent my entire life trying to leave my parents' house because I'm such an independent person, not because my parents are bad by any means, but just because I'm a very independent person.
Right.
And I just wanted to be on my own, you know? Much of my daughter in me, but so yeah, it was definitely a dog with my tail between my legs, like walking back to my parents' house,
right?
And had to change my daughter's school. I mean, it was a very big decision. And so that was February when I moved in, and worked hard. I got my first client. That was the $500. She was amazing. She actually was in a mastermind with Marie Forleo. Okay. However, at the time, nobody knew who Marie Forleo was.
Right.
So, you know, she was very innovative and cool. And within the first month or two, she was moving to out of the country and into another country, and basically was relying on me to run her business. She, you know, she sent her PO box to me. I was running, you know, her email marketing list. I was running her shopping cart, her customer care. I was her go-to right-hand person.
Wow.
And from
there—
And what
there, was she paying you, if you don't mind me asking?
$25 an hour.
That's not, well, it's livable. That's livable, depending on how many hours you get.
Well, and it was over double what I was making at that $10 an hour job working for a jackass. So, I mean.
Okay, but were you getting enough hours? Did that math out to a livable sort of?
No, that was that $500. That's where it was not livable. So that's where I was, you know, when I was at my parents' house, it was livable there because they weren't making me pay for food or anything. Like, totally, you know, living the high life here at my parents' house. So I worked really, really hard. And I will tell you, the Ohio State Michigan game that weekend, I moved out, which is the weekend after Thanksgiving. So it's the last weekend in November. I moved out of my parents' house. And for the first time in I was 25 or 26 ever in my life, I lived on my own, paying my own bills, with a business that I started on my own with no money, like no seed money from my husband or the divorce. You know what I mean? Like he's an electrician. So it's not like I was getting alimony or anything like that. I mean, literally when I say $500 a month, I mean $500 a month.
Right.
So, but at this time I wasn't making, when I moved out, I was, you know, I wasn't making great money, but I was making enough to pay the bills.
Right. You could rent your own place.
Yes.
For big could. Enough for you and your daughter.
Yep. And still have a third bedroom office for my business. Yeah. Nice. So, I mean, I even had a three bedroom place. It was great. And it was such an accomplishment. And from there, I bought a newer car. You know, like I started to be able to see myself really making this business go. So fast forward a couple years.
Right.
And then comes the next and then.
What's the next and then? So let's just take a pause and say. So,
recap.
Yeah, just recap. So now you are out on your own. Mm-hmm. You're doing better than $500 a month or whatever, right?
I would say probably about that time, I was probably still at maybe like $2,500 to $3,500.
Variable, right. Yeah, you know, and that's the thing with being an entrepreneur. It's not a paycheck. You know, it's not regular. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily stable. It can be, but you know, it's a lot more feasty, famine-y, and you have to hustle to make it move.
Right. You have to keep it going.
Right. You have to spin the wheel every day.
Yeah. And I was totally into it. I loved it. And my client, the one client that was paying me $500 a month from there, I mean, it really did word of mouth snowballed, you know, and people were coming to me and it was getting to the point where I knew I couldn't work 24 hours a day as much as I wanted to because I loved the work that I was doing, but I had to find that way to be scalable. You know, I mean, this was all based off of me. So if I was sick when my daughter had her appendix,
so you're doing everything.
I was doing everything.
And how many clients did you get up to?
I would say
it varied.
Yes, it varied. I would say anywhere from 3 to 6 clients. I was fortunate where I had some larger clients, so I didn't have to rely on having a bunch of clients. But at the same time, I did web design in between to, you know,
fill in the gaps.
For kind of fun money. Yeah, it was fun money, like what I wanted to do. I was able to take lots of road trips with my bestie. And, you know, I took my daughter to Disney World. I had a dream board or vision board. So I put that stuff on there. And I was making these things happen while still paying my bills.
But at the same time, like you were about to say,
yes.
It was getting a little bit overwhelming. It was a little too much. Okay.
And then fast forward. So I had this awesome client that I became really close friends with, was going to be joining her mastermind the next year that I was helping put together. You know, I had some really great things that were looking on the horizon, but I had never met her. And we were like trying to figure out how we were going to meet. She told me she was going to Marie's Rich, Happy, and Hot in New York City and that I needed to come. And I was like, yeah, that's great, Tanya, but I'm a single mom. Like, New York City is expensive.
Excuses.
Yeah, it basically was.
right. But, no, we all do it.
Yeah. Well, and then it's okay because I had a dream on a Friday night and my daughter was not home. This was a weekend. She was with my ex-husband. And so, and we literally like only lived maybe a mile and a half apart. Mm-hmm. And
that's convenient.
It was. He lived in another town in Inver.
And it sounds like you guys are like still friendly at that point still too.
Yes. We were very amicable. I mean, when my daughter did have her appendix taken out, I mean, the hospital, like, I left and went home and my daughter kind of had a breakdown because I hadn't left her. I think she kind of like was like holding up her pain and then kind of broke down. And when I got back, the nurse just sent me into tears. She was like, you guys are so amazing to your daughter. Like, you know, you guys just work so well as a team. And, you know, we've seen you guys over the last, because they clipped my daughter's bladder. So like some things, we had to be there for longer. And they were just like, you guys are amazing together. We've never seen it. That maybe should have been a first indicator of what you'll learn later. But so Friday night had this dream that I met Tanya and her husband, and there was a cowboy hat involved, and there was a big city, and I was just like, what the heck was that dream? Well, I was laying in bed, and I grabbed my iPhone 3GS. Because that's what I was on at the time.
Okay.
And which I was doing well enough to have an iPhone. So
yes,
that was good. Yes, and when they first came out. So, right. Yes. So I had an email from Tanya that was forwarded from Marie Forleo that was this contest to go to Rich, Happy, and Hot. Marie was going to pick you up from the airport in a limo. She was going to drop you off at your hotel that she was paying for, and you were going to get to go to Rich, Happy, and Hot. And I was like, hot damn, I am winning this, and I am going to New York City.
So you were going to get you were going to win an all-expense-paid trip to New York.
Well, you had to pay for your flight.
Oh, you had to pay for your flight. Okay. And she was paying for the hotel.
Yep.
And you got into the event for free. Kind of scholarship-y almost.
Yes, absolutely. This was like, I mean, and this was revolutionary at the time. I mean, people were not doing contests like this.
Right.
So it was, and I didn't realize how many entries were also going to be entered. Right. It was a video. You had, I want to say it was 3 minutes was the cutoff, or maybe it was 2 minutes. It was short
video. Okay.
And this is one of my very first videos that I created. You can go check it out. It's on YouTube. Check out Ali Rittenhouse and Marie Forleo. It'll come up pretty quickly.
Right.
It was shot with iPhone. And at the time, I still had to learn that you shoot your iPhone videos horizontally and not vertically.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we all learned that.
We all have to learn the hard way. So what I found out from, you know, recording this video, I had my friend kind of help me out. I hired somebody to help me storyboard it, right?
Okay.
Like, get my ideas out.
Good idea.
And so my video, like, came together. But then as I was editing it, I was like, crap, I didn't answer this question that you had to answer, and I didn't put this in there. And I just found some gaping holes. Well, my friend that had been recording didn't have time to help record in the deadline. So I didn't really have too many other people to turn to except my ex-husband.
Uh-huh.
And I bribed him with some Budweiser, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
We'll work for beer. That's great.
Yes, he did. So the poor guy has never shot video before. He didn't really understand what I was doing. He also is really, he doesn't have a steady hand. He kind of has a real shaky hand. This was before the lift and everything was invented. So, I was just like, please just help me out. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done.
Right.
And isn't that the best quote that we hear over and over?
Yes. Please don't make it perfect, because then you never ship.
Yes. And the client that had sent me the email, she was like, I got this great idea. You need to put it on the screen that you were so desperate to get to New York City that you had your ex-husband shoot this video.
Yes.
And I was like, no way. And she's like, yes. So we totally did. And Marie Forleo commented on the video. My heart just stopped. I was like, oh my gosh, Marie likes it and approves. I'm totally going to New York City. This is all over with, guys. Allie Rittenhouse just won. Step aside. Well, that wasn't the case.
Aww.
Bummer. I know. And I actually, you guys are going to laugh. I'm going to be totally honest with you, because my client totally laughed at me. I paused the video and I cried. I like walked out of my office. I was so damn sure. Everybody talks about positive thinking and putting it out there and making it happen. And I did all that.
Yeah.
And it still didn't.
Fizzle.
I still didn't. Yeah. But the thing that I missed by not watching the entire video was that she had 8 or 10 other scholarships that she was giving away to people to attend. And I just so happened to be one of them. But I completely missed it for the first half an hour because I was bawling and sad and pissed.
Rewind. Okay. So you initially went in there and you didn't hear your name. And so you stopped the video and you walked away and you cried.
I cried. I'm
okay, because you knew you didn't win.
I'm mad. Yeah.
So like, then you found out later that you did win.
No, I went back. So I pulled myself together. I texted my client, called Ed, told him, shit, I didn't win.
I didn't get it, damn.
Yeah.
I was so sure.
I was. I really was.
I know.
So I pulled myself back together, went back to my office, and I was like, I'm going to watch the rest of this. There's still like 5 or 10 minutes left in this video.
Okay.
And thank God that I did, because that's when she was like, and I just loved some of these videos so much that we're giving away more. And that's when my name was then announced.
Wow. And
it was pretty amazing.
Well, always watch till the end.
Yes. Never know what you're going to miss.
Because there might be more to the story.
Yes.
There might be another and then. And then?
And I really hope that you stay till the end of this, because there still are a couple more and then.
There's a couple more and then. I know. Okay. So tell us what that was like. You went and you did this awesome event.
Yeah. So I
got to
meet.
Walk us through that.
Well, my client, so I was getting a free ticket to Rich, Happy, and Hot, but there was still airfare, cab rides, hotel that still had to be paid for. And I still, I mean, while I was doing okay, I still really at the I mean, this was short
notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't have a whole lot of, wiggle room on your expense sheet.
Right. Right. So I was
right. So you had to go get a credit card or something.
No, actually, my client helped me really work it out. Like, she was like, okay, so what if for like 1 month of service, she had rewards points with her hotel? She was like, what if I help get you a place while you're there? So that would help with that. And I was like, oh my gosh, you don't understand how much that's going to help me. So that covered like the big base of it that got me there. So then I really just had to pay for flight, food, you know, those kinds of things.
Right.
So, you know, that worked out, you know, really nice to get me there. So I got there and met her, never had met her, worked with her for 2 years.
And this is pre B school time.
This is, yeah, B school. There was B school with Laura and Marie at the time. They were still, together entity. So from there, we went to Rich, Happy, and Hot, and it was one of the most amazing events that I've ever been to. And I got to go to a meetup with Danielle Laporte.
She's awesome.
Which, let me just tell you, at the time, I didn't realize how awesome and how big she was. Like, I was just like, oh, we're going to a meetup. Great. You know?
She's very much in your face, too.
Yeah.
You can have absolutely no BS in your energy around that woman.
Yes. I mean, you know, like when I'm talking to her, I'm just talking to her like you and me are talking. I had no idea really who I was talking to.
Did she get in your face?
She was pretty close, but we were also at a dark bar that was really loud. So okay, I was attributing it to that.
Okay, gotcha.
So, you know, from there, then we went to Rich, Happy, and Hot, was blown away by amazement, met some incredible women that I had no idea would be life changers, and had multiple new ideas of how to go home and scale my business, how to be able to make more money from it without it being so dependent upon
what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what Marie talks about. You know, she teaches you that. So, from there, it was kind of like a warm up to B School and what they had to offer. When I left Rich, Happy, and Hot, I was at a whole nother level of creativity that I didn't really know was there. You know what I mean?
Like, no, I do. Yeah. You've got that now. You've had the sort of like the, what do they call that? Sort of like the conference high. Especially while you're there, you know, at a conference, and it's almost like an awakening.
Oh, yes, it was. Well, and I will say this was really my first big conference that I had ever attended.
Yeah. And the first one's always the biggest.
It was a big one to attend. I mean, she had DJ, she had sound people,
You were blown away.
I was. And then it was also like my first introduction into getting the mastermind application at the end of an event. I had no idea what that was all about.
So we have to rewind just because I think some of this is funny. So what did you do in the video that was cute? That got you noticed?
Well, there's a couple
just things. This is a rewind because I know the answer, but I think it's cute and funny.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I like danced to Don't Stop Believing.
Because you were a small town girl.
Oh, yeah, I guess that might have something to do with it. And then, so I started out the video with that, which then led into me being in my downtown and talking about, you know, my town and how there was more like, you know, corn cobs and cornfields and tractors and people, you know.
and love it.
You know, well, and you know, Marie always talks about that you have to surround yourself with who you want to be. And I think that was kind of the idea, was like, I needed to be around more people. Nobody around here like understood what my business was.
Right.
So then I danced Don't Stop Believing. I sang Alicia Keys, New York with Jay-Z, The Concrete Jungle in the back of my ex-husband's truck.
To go watch this whole video.
See, that's what you're missing, the end part, if you don't watch it all the way.
I think I'm going to link to it in the show notes just awesome. Because it's so fun.
It is so relevant with this video or the interview.
Yeah.
Last part was the best, was I was in my ex-husband's truck. We were like kind of went to a backcountry road. And he had like tinted windows and stuff. And so I was like in the driver's seat and I was like, I'll see y'all in New York City, and started to roll up the window. And if you've ever watched the Beyonce and Lady Gaga video, where they, here, we're going to drop the P-word.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, sure. We're talking about, like the pussy wagon like drives off, right?
Okay.
So we got a sign and we were like mimicking the end of that video.
Okay.
And I like, had him like spit up gravel at me. Like I then took over recording and he like spun the tires and spit up gravel and like took off real fast.
That's great.
And that was how the video ended. And that's when I said, I'm so desperate to get to New York City that I had my ex-husband shoot this video. So
Perfect. Call
it any one of those awesome, funny things that got me there.
Yeah. Well, it's got the elements of, you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some vulnerability that you're saying, I'm so desperate I had my ex-husband. And then just the whole idea of just using your environment and your story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think you nailed.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
It was, It's fun. I love doing those kind of videos, and I could do them every week. watching them.
You have to keep using your phone though, because that, that makes it more fun.
The selfie stick, this is my revolutionary tip of 2015, is that every entrepreneur needs a selfie stick.
A selfie stick? Do tell. I don't know what a selfie stick is. I know.
You're going to have to put a link into the interview on
that. Yes, the show notes. Stick, okay, what's a selfie stick?
Well, we all know that our arms aren't like extendo arms, like Inspector Gadget. Extender arms does not work.
Right.
So, but you can get a selfie stick that you attach your cell phone to, and it extends out 6 feet. And then at the bottom, you can press record with a button that's like, it's either Bluetooth or by wire. Somehow the, like, it depends on which one you get. Because some are by Bluetooth, some are by the wire, some are by battery, you know,
so
whatever.
So it's just a stick with a mount.
And you put your iPhone on it, and you can.
And it's looking at you through the front, through the front camera.
And I mean, you could do the reverse, but it would be kind of hard to see if you're in the shot or not.
That's true. Well, my my front camera is currently actually. Which one is it? No, my back camera on my phone doesn't work, and my front does.
Well, there you go then. So
anyway,
so you could shoot it to, you know, and they make lapel mics for smartphones.
Okay.
So you can have good audio quality and use the selfie stick. So
Now, in the shot, do they do they see your hand holding the stick?
No.
So you can't even see the stick. You can't see your hand.
No.
It just looks like there's a camera floating out in front of you, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Or somebody's holding it, you know. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I love the selfie stick. That's great.
Yeah. $20 $20
$20
Super simple.
I'm going to have to get a selfie stick.
Yeah. I'm going to have to create a program on how the selfie stick can revolutionize your business.
It's almost like the cheap version of those robots. The what do they call those things? The drones. Those things are so cool.
They are. I don't think the selfie stick is as cool as those because you can't go like 20 feet up in the air, but it's pretty
close. That's a little bit more GoPro-ish to me.
You
got to be doing something like action related. I mean, my life, drone, not so interesting. Oh, look, Jeff's taking a walk.
Well, you know, it could be, I mean, like one of my photographer used a drone to like, kind of fly over his photography studio, you know, and they shot video from that. So
it's totally cool.
Yeah.
It's totally Big Brother though. You know, that's what I think.
A little bit.
Especially because they're like remote. Once they get like automated and they can like sort of like
fly on their own.
Yeah. They can go and autonomously go from one GPS point to another one. And then, or maybe you can steer them with a computer and go to somebody's house and silently look in their window. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I'll opt out
then. That's a little scary, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sorry. We got none off topic. Okay.
Just a little bit. That's okay.
Okay. So, and then let's see, where were we?
So I left New York City, like all googly eyed, inspired and ready to hit at it. And the first weekend that I came back from New York City, I have a little surprise for you guys. This is why you always listen to the end of the interview. I went on a first date with my ex-husband.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Yes. And
how did that work out?
Well, we are still together and we just got a puppy. So it's working out very well.
So together, not married, but together, together.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I saw his last name. This is the analogy that I give. When you and an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend break up and get back together, you don't still call them your ex-girlfriend or your ex-boyfriend. They become your girlfriend and boyfriend again.
Right.
So while there might be a little bit of a disillusion decree someplace along in there, I saw his last name and, you know, we're still husband and wife. So
just not on paper.
Well, but it was on paper. That's where it becomes really hard because it was on paper and it's still on paper, but there's just somewhere in between there's a divorce decree. Well, it's not even a divorce decree. It was a disillusion. So,
Really?
Yeah.
That's different.
Like, yeah. We completely agreed on everything. And even our attorney, this should have been kind of the key point too, is our attorney was like, really, do you guys really think that you should be getting a divorce? Now, when an attorney that you're paying looks at you and says that, you might want to stop and think about it for a second. But honestly, at the time, it was still the appropriate thing to do. Right. And I, as a person, had to grow up and, you know, pay my own bills like a big girl and, you know, do that kind of stuff.
It was almost so, like you needed it.
Absolutely. I would not have changed a thing.
Right, right. And it's easy enough to get married again. If you want to.
Yeah, and I think there's something that we could probably get our disillusion just thrown out. Yeah, an illusion.
Undisillusioned? That's a double negative. That's a double negative.
But I'm sure there's disillusion. Something. Yeah. But, I mean, we're happy with the way that things are at the moment. So
are
we'll
you
see.
Living together again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a house and, yeah. Yeah. And we have our daughter that's, you know, as I said, she's 15, freshman. So, yeah. Now we've got three dogs, too.
So now your business has morphed, right?
Oh, man.
So
yeah.
You're not necessarily doing VA anymore.
No, I actually now I have a VA training program.
Okay.
That teaches virtual assistants to be techie, like what people were coming to me for. Because when you become a VA, a lot of people talk about like the personal care side of things, like helping out client care and answering emails and booking flights and things like that. But there's so much more that VAs can
do. My cable. That's a big one.
Yeah. I wouldn't probably not take on that task as a VA because that just wasn't what I enjoyed doing.
It's kind of more of a fancy hands thing. It's a mm-hmm. big thing on fancy hands. I don't know if you've heard of that.
But I did not know that was a big thing on there.
Fancy hands is just a little bit more personally.
Right.
It's like go do me this research project on Google kind of thing.
Gotcha.
You know, and it's not necessarily technical. It's more researchy / personal. That's the way I took it.
Yeah. And this is more like I teach people what I learned how to do was build an online business and how to market it. And so the first step that I took was I was a VA still at the time. So the next step would be, okay, well, let's create a training program on how to train VAs. That's what I know how to do. So I started there and that really, the first class sold out and it was really a huge success. So then what I noticed is I had some entrepreneurs signing up for that class and because they wanted to learn the same skills to run their own business without having to hire somebody to do it.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, well, here's a whole nother product. Why don't we, the name of the VA program was Geek Labs. So I was like, why don't we just add entrepreneur at the end of that? And, you know, we can kind of have the same content, but we've got, because the calls really are different. You know, the way that you talk to a virtual assistant versus the way you talk to an entrepreneur, the virtual assistant's doing, the entrepreneur needs it done for their business, but they're doing it themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So, what I found then with that though, is that entrepreneurs really don't want to be geeks, especially if geek's not something they're interested in. So the name was a complete disconnect for them. Mm-hmm. We had people signing up because of the content, but it wasn't growing near like what it should.
Oh, and the name is just so important.
It was. That's the copy was dead on and spoke to them, but the name just didn't quite click.
Yeah,
they did not want to be geeky. Right. And so I, you know, that even had to go through some morphing until it became the one program because it essentially is the one program that an entrepreneur needs to run their business. It teaches you video. It teaches you email marketing. It teaches you launches. So, one thing that I've learned in the last, it'll be 10 years this summer that I've been in business. So the one thing that I've learned is that it's always going to be evolving. You're always going to be learning something new. And even when you're so sure about something, you might be wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I've learned that I can't assume what my people want. I have to ask them what they want.
Yes, yes.
And so, that was so huge.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting ready to launch a new podcast. So I'm starting to put my head in the bucket again of launch strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got, that's one thing. Okay. But I don't really want to go too far down the road of beyond sort of like seed of idea until the audience shows up and I've got some proof of concept that there is an audience for the, the theme that I've chosen. And then I'm going to start asking them, what do you want? What do you want me to make? You know, what would serve your needs, you know, in this community kind of idea. And I think that is a great way, you know, that way then you're not, you know, it's more like a what do they call that? Ready, fire, 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 aim. Just get ready and start firing, you know, and then ask your people, how's that? Is that good?
Yeah, no, you definitely don't. You
don't want to guess. You don't want to guess at what they're going to want.
Mm-hmm.
Asking them is so much more effective.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So what do you primarily do now in your business? You've got quite a few different products, right?
Yes. Right now, gosh, I'm doing a little bit of everything. I do live television. I'm their digital diva. So I talk a lot about tech segments. I have my training.
You're on TV TV?
I'm on TV TV. Like I was just,
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I didn't see that on your website. I must have missed it.
Yeah. So I do that. I still do my training. I am very hands-on in my business. So I still do one-on-one coaching too. We actually have a mastermind program that we created that brings together all of my team, my copywriters, my graphic designers, everybody that I work with to produce Ali Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. And we bring it to their business. And rather than just hiring somebody for a mastermind and getting coached, on top of that, then you also go through getting things designed for you, getting the copywriter to edit your stuff. And it's all really a done for you service on top of the mastermind.
Wow.
So yeah, that was really, that was, revolutionary. There's not any really that I know of out there that are like this as far as masterminds go. But it was really being able to tap into still providing services for entrepreneurs.
It's almost
but
like you're an incubator.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. A little bit. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. We actually are like in the process of rebranding it to Income Infinity, because we are basically setting you up with all of the systems, the opt-in pages, the launch strategy, everything that you need to create an infinity of income.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
And reaching people all over the world, just like I've done with my business, which reaches over 150 countries every month.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I want to ask you a question, because you've been going at this now for a couple of revs around the block, right? I've seen lots of, like, one of my guys that I follow is Chris Guillebeau, you know?
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Of World Domination and Art of Nonconformity.
And but, 192 countries, I think, too. Does he still
he
have
went
that?
To all of the countries.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember the number. So it's like 192 or 194.
Something like that. That was his Instagram name. So that's how I remembered it.
Right. But anyway, his, what I'm trying to get at here in this question is each product that you put out has a shelf life, right? It's going to have like a growth and then a peak and then a drop off, and then it's going to be shut down or morphed into something else. Have you experienced that, or do you have something that you started and stayed the same until like throughout the whole, business, life?
You know, I think it kind of goes to the marketing side of it. I don't know if the product necessarily has a shelf life as much as the marketing has the shelf life.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, I think that you have to get creative in how you're promoting it. Sometimes the video series still works great, and sometimes webinar series works great.
Okay.
You know, I think you have to be inventive and creative and do what feels best for you. That is mostly going to shine your light, to like put the most, like the biggest spotlight on your product. It's up to you to really shine ahead of time. Not, I mean, yes, you got to shine in your product, but you got to shine ahead of time to get them to pull their credit card out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, I love what Marie has created, and I am not as hands-on as I used to be, but I'm still very personable. People know that they can send me an email and I'll sometimes it might take me 4 or 5 days to get back with you, but you're going to get an email back.
Right.
And, you know, when people hear my voice on a training program, they feel so connected to me because of all the videos that they've already watched that are free that I put out there. So I think it really depends on the marketing of the product.
Okay.
And the
brand. It's almost like you can take, like if a certain product isn't working anymore, you can sort of like put it on the shelf and then dust it off later.
Maybe? Yeah.
And then, you know, tweak it a little bit and relaunch it. I've seen Chris do that.
Or even just giving it a new name.
Giving it a new name and a new website. And giving it a new niche.
Mm-hmm.
Aiming it at a new audience.
Yep. And okay. People are like, ooh, you know, there's lots of people that will tell you the story, like with the Geek Labs, you know, the Geek Labs VA was doing awesome, but there, I knew that there was a disconnect between the Geek Labs entrepreneur and I let it go too long before changing the name.
Right.
But then once I did, then it was like, you know, it was almost like repackaging it and, you know, sending it off into this, you know, new Tiffany's box or whatever. So,
Yeah. Packaging is huge.
Yes, it is.
So that's a great story. I think we've come to the end of, well, not to the end. We've come to the present. How's that sound?
Yes, we are at the present. We are where I'm at right now.
and there was plenty of and thens in that story. So that's a great story. So tell my listener base here where they can best connect with Allie Rittenhouse.
Yeah. So, I mean, AllieRittenhouse.com, Googling nice. Allie Rittenhouse. Yeah.
It's good to have a unique name like that.
Yes.
I couldn't do JeffSmith.com. That wouldn't.
No, probably.
Probably taken.
Jeff Smith.
I could be Jeff Smith.
4.0.
That's good. I wonder, you know what though? We would have to get creative about something, some off sort of domain. What do they call those things? Instead of com,
yeah,
some other creative version of, you know, there's the guy that runs WordPress and the for-profit company that owns and operates WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Matt Mullenweg or something like that.
Oh,
and it's hard, but it's something like that. But his personal blog is at ma.tt.
Oh, brilliant.
Because he loves puns too.
Yeah.
So it's his name, Matt, with a dot in it. And he told this story on Tim Ferriss's podcast about he had no clue because I don't even remember, but TT is the domain for some country that I don't even know what it is. And you can't just go on GoDaddy or Bluehost or something and register a .tt. They're just not available. You have to mail that country.
Oh my gosh.
Call them on the phone, you know, and get all old school and write letters and things, right? But he did it. Anyway, so I digress yet again. Okay, so AllieRittenhouse.com. Thank you for showing up to my show. Thank you for sharing your awesome story about your journey from having that sucky job where you got fired by that dickhead.
Yes. Thank you for letting me tell it.
All the way to now, rocking this business that lets you be free and do what you want to do and hopefully someday escape Ohio.
I agree. A couple more years and we'll be out of here.
Once the daughter gets out of high school, then you're going to be in the Bahamas.
Well, we Hawaii. Might have. Well, she's the only kid, so we may have to wait a few more years after if she decides to go to college or if she starts her own business or, you know, we might have.
It's flexible.
It is. I would say at max 10 years.
At max.
Yeah.
Okay. At max. But you can travel now because you're making big money.
Absolutely.
You can do all kinds of fun
yeah. stuff. Yes. Except my husband doesn't like to fly. So I do lots of girls trips.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
He has some motion sickness issues that get Understood. Definitely heightened in the air. So Understood. Once Maddie is out of school, we will be in an Airstream traveling a lot.
Oh, Airstream. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. The big silver. Yes, I know Airstreams.
They're made just 15 miles down the road from me.
Mm-hmm.
In Ohio.
Another guy that was another guest of mine, his name is Lane
Well, he goes by at Lane Vids on YouTube. He's a YouTuber, mm-hmm. and that's his dream too. He wants to take his family in an Airstream and travel around and visit other YouTubers because they're all shut-ins in their house.
Oh, okay, okay. So I'm going to announce.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to announce an idea that some people know about it does involve the Airstream. I want to gut one and make it a mobile video studio inside of it. And I want to call it Live Stream from the Airstream.
I love it.
Yes. And I want to go visit Gen X women that have started their own empires and awesome. Interview them. Yeah. And I've already got some pretty, I don't know if you've heard of Jenny's Ice Cream or let's see, who would be another person that maybe, the inventor of the Butler bag. There's a couple women that I've already got that I think would be great to start off with.
And these are all Gen Xers too?
Yeah, they are.
My next podcast is going to be all Gen X.
Ah, well, I am.
So we need to hook up.
Well, I'm launching a brand in March that's called Gen XO, which it's basically for women entrepreneurs because we all sign our emails XO. And they're, XO. You know,
I love it. Gen XO. I love it.
But we're all Gen, I'm like right on the cusp of Gen X. It depends on what website you look at. So, sure. Yeah.
I'm at the opposite end of the cusp. Well, I'm 45, but I'm still Gen X.
You know, but we're all still together.
That's
you know,
right.
We're all still in that range of doing things that our parents could have never dreamed of doing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you have an awesome day, and we're going to reconnect, and you're going to be on my new show too.
I would love to be. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thanks for taking the time to ride along with us on another episode of Vroom Vroom Veer. For podcast info and show notes, be sure to head over to vvveer.com. That's VVVER.com. Man, that's fun to say. And we'll catch up with you next time here on Vroom Vroom Veer.